22nd chapter of the book of Proverbs. You'll stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to read but one verse of scripture. That's verse number 28, 22nd chapter, book of Proverbs, verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmarks, which thy fathers have set. Let us pray. Father, again, I certainly thank you for the blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. And this preacher needs your help tonight, Father, as always. I need your help. I need your power, your wisdom. I ask you for it. We want to honor you tonight, Father. Please help us to do that. And Lord, just use this tonight in a way, Lord, that'll help us as your people to be strengthened in our faith, and Lord, certainly be some establishing of some landmarks for our lives. Now, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sure most of you are familiar. We've preached out of this, off of this verse of scripture before. We've dealt with the fact, you know, landmarks were set up for land. People had corners of their land, and there was a landmark set up there, and no one was supposed to ever move those landmarks. They put the boundaries of land for an individual. And, my wife and I was driving down the road the other day, and we saw this big old cement post out near the road. We was talking about it, and even it was leaning just a little bit, but it's old cement post, but it was a landmark. It was put there many, many, many years ago as a landmark to mark the corner of a property. So basically, this is what he's talking about, referring to, and he's saying that those should not be moved. We're not to move the landmarks. And of course, in a spiritual sense, there is just so many wonderful spiritual truths in the fact that the landmarks of the Word of God cannot be changed, must not be moved. What I'm going to do is try to help you to understand why Blessed Hope Baptist Church is here, why it is run like it is run, why over 30 years that God has been using Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to try to help you to understand some things, and hopefully it'll help you, because we need a little bit of a history lesson to get us ready for 30th anniversary. And I can't start anywhere else, and the Lord has given me freedom to do that, but with myself. I want you to be very careful with me tonight, and love me anyway, but I've got to talk about Bob Ross for just a little while. The reason I'm going to talk about me is because years and years ago, God chose a man to lead Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That was God's plan. Before the beginning of time, God chooses and knows what he's going to use an individual for. And I believe with all my heart that God, in the younger years of my life, established some landmarks in my life that he was going to use as he called me to preach and establish the Church of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I believe something else. I believe that there's landmarks in your life that God has been developing through your life. I believe he does that. Why? For the purpose of service here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I do not believe that anyone is here by accident. I believe God places his people where he wants them to be a blessing and to be used of God Almighty. I just believe that. And he has a purpose for you, and he's been establishing things in your life all these years to bring you to the place where you are today to be used of God. And of course, we could go throughout all the church ministries and talk about some of those, but we have people here that just serve in their ministries that God has prepared them for. Before, I believe, the beginning of time, God had that in his mind. He had it all, his plan all laid out. And so I'm just going to try to give you a little bit of a history tonight to help us, because folks, a lot of you weren't there in the early years. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying you wasn't there. And I want you to have a little bit of an understanding of what God has done down through the years and why Blessed Hope Baptist Church is here, and the way it stands and the things it does and the ministries that we serve in today. How did that come to pass? Again, I'm saying to you, I believe that God prepared a preacher at the very early years of my life. I look back and look at the things that God allowed me to go through, things He put in me, and it was all for a purpose, a reason of establishing some things in my life so that I would be prepared to be used of the Lord when the time came. I was born in August the 15th in 1939. If you want to figure, that makes me 63 years of age. But I was born in a house outside of Fillmore, Indiana, and I was literally born in the house. We was not born in a hospital. I was born in the house. Me and my other brother, Herschel, you've met Herschel, was born in the house. We had moved there. Dad and him had moved there sometime before that, and we both were born there in the house. I grew up in a four-room house. There was 9 children, but the one had passed away very early after birth, so there was 8 of us, and there was a 4-room house. That's what I grew up in. That will do something for you. Amen. I grew up in a house where there was no inside facilities, no bathroom, no restroom. I grew up in a house where there was no running water. We carried the water from the pump outside, inside, in a bucket. And we had a little building out back. And I think you're familiar with those little buildings. They're called outhouses. And that's the way we lived. And that's how I grew up. I had a lot of good times when I was a young man. A lot of good times. I'm prefacing this so that you'll understand what I'm going to say next. But we had a lot of good times. So it was times when we would camp out. We lived out in the country. The Boy Scouts in Fillmore, Indiana, had a troop up there, and they would allow you to come and borrow the tent once in a while, and you had to sign it out. You borrow the tent. We camped out in the woods and all kinds of things. I, as a boy, spent a lot of time in the woods. I loved the woods. I loved to be out. I walked, and I spent much time out there. Done a lot of mushroom hunting. Reminds me of this time of year. I don't do as much anymore. For some reason, folks, I don't know how that is, but you get a little older, you can't hardly make it around like you used to do when you was a young boy. But anyway, I done a lot of those things. I played basketball. We had a basketball rim on a building, which was the top of a bucket. And that's what we played basketball. That's how we learned how to play basketball. And that's what we had until one day Mom got awful tired of it beating and banging around on the house because it was on side of the house. And she talked Dad into putting 2 telephone poles up. And I don't know where he got them and made us a regular basketball goal out there. We played basketball there. We played softball out in the pasture. It was not our pasture, but it was crossed, which given permission to, we played ball out there, softball out there in that pasture. And if you're around sometimes, we're out where cattle is, I'll say, well, that's third base. I hope you understand what third base is, because we literally used that for third base. So we'd find some dry, and of course, and we literally used it. And we went over in the pasture and played softball. We didn't have baseball back at Fillmore, Indiana. We had softball, and that's what we played. We've been run out of that pasture with the bulls after us. So we was very, very careful. But I'm just simply saying to you, that's kind of the way I grew up. I'm not giving you everything, but that was the way we grew up. Now, most of the time, let me say to you, we worked. Now, I'm just going to say this to you. You had to. Now, I'm not telling some of you anything new. Yous has been through this, these things too. But I'm just saying, we worked. That's what we did most of the time. Now, I had good times. But most of the time, we worked. There's so many things to do around a place like that. And Dad saw to it that we did it. Amen? Now, I'm just saying, you know, there was always weeds to cut. There was always feeding to do. Dad did not have a lot of animals, but he'd always keep a couple hogs to butcher and a milk cow. We always had a milk cow. We always had a beef cow, and we would butcher those, you know. And there was always feeding to be done. There was milking to be done. When I got old enough to milk, we took turns. My brothers and I took turns every day. You know, we'd take turns do the milking. You had to do that of a morning, you had to do that of a night, and we did the milking. And so it was just a lot of things. Garden in the summertime was always a big thing. We was there when it was planted, we was there when it was weeded, and we was there when it was picked, and we was there to help put it up. I mean, it was a major program, I'm telling you. And we did that all the time, and Dad put out a lot of garden. He had a big family. Now, some of you, again, you know what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that. You worked. Now, the reason I brought that out is simply this. God instilled in me, during those years, the landmark of work. He started putting that in me many, many years ago when I was just a young man. Now, if you think most young men choose to work, I don't know too many that I mean just choose to say, I just want to work. I don't want to play. I don't want to do nothing. I just want to go out. No, Dad had to teach us, and he had ways of doing that, to work and to be diligent about it. And we got the job done. If you didn't, there was real problems around our house. But thank God that there was the landmark of work. And God instilled that in me. And I'm going to say this. I'm certainly don't do like I used to. But I, and my wife I think will testify, I cannot hardly sit around a home. I can for a little while, don't get me wrong. I like to sit down once in a while. But most of the time, just like this coming week, I'm going to take some few days off, but all we've got planned is to work. And I can't stand to just sit around and do nothing. I want to accomplish something. Where did that instill in me? When I was a young boy. Now that's what I'm saying to some of you. If you don't learn it when you're a young boy, you're going to have real trouble learning it. You really are. So if your daddy is one of these and mama's one of these that just says, you know what, you've got certain things to do, let's get the job done, thank God for it. Because you're getting things instilled in you, you'll never get instilled any other way because you won't choose to do that. Okay? So anyway, there was a landmark of work. Let me say also, I learned the landmark of respect and discipline. My first year in school, they did not have kindergarten back in those days. Takes 13 years to get an education now. It only took us 12. But anyway, first year of school, I remember going in as a first grader, and I don't remember what point in the year it was, where it was, but they was having some kind of thing in the classroom, a display after school things, and a teacher had told us to stay off the table, stay away from those. Well, me and another boy, I think it was his fault as I remember, but me and another little boy decided that we would just plot ourselves down on those tables, just sit on the tables. I don't remember how many seconds we was there, but our teacher came and got us off of there, took us to the principal's office, and I received my first spanking in school for sitting on a table. I'll tell you, abuse. No, you know why? Because I'd been told not to. Didn't have to tell you 5 times or 10 times. Told once, it's enough. But anyway, I received my first spanking. God, even there, I believe, was teaching me discipline and respect for authority. On down the road a little ways, I told some of you this, but hang on, some of you haven't heard it. But one day my mother gave me a good spanking. Again, I can't remember what it was for. Probably I forgot on purpose. But gave me a good spanking with what's called a lath. If any of you know what a lath is, them things that they put in the walls with plaster and all of that, a lath, she gave me, and it broke. And that's what I done, Jeff. I laughed. I laughed. That was a mistake, Brother Pearl. But I laughed. And Mama got real quiet. Didn't chase me. I run from her. Dumb. But I run from her, and all day long, Mama just ignored me. I tried to make up to her. I tried to do everything I could. She wouldn't even talk to me. And I figured out when I looked up across the railroad track there and my daddy was walking down, because we didn't have a car, my daddy was walking down the road, I figured out why Mama wasn't saying anything to me. Daddy came home, went into the house, and just a few minutes later came out. I received one of the hardest spankings that I've ever had in my life. And the basic thing was, he said, "Son, don't you ever laugh at your mother ever again in your whole life." And I never did. "And you do what she says." And he spanked me till I kid about it, but I can almost still feel it. And I never forgot it. But it was things that God was teaching me during those things, times that he was teaching me discipline and respect for authority. And I believe it's a landmark that needs to be in every single person. They need to be disciplined. They need to respect authority that God has placed over them. And they need to learn that. And I believe God was teaching that to me. I believe he also taught me responsibilities and dependability. You know, even in church matters, we went to a church, and most of the time we walked to church. I'm going to say about a mile up into town, up into Fillmore. But I have at home, and I forgot to bring them, but I have a little pin here that I was given, and then underneath that pin there's little bars that you hang one per year for faithfulness. And I had 8 years of faithfulness to church, and you could only miss one Sunday a quarter. Now, I do not remember whether I missed those or not. I don't remember, but I had eight straight years, for being faithful. Now, even there, although it wasn't the kind of church it ought to have been, God was teaching me faithfulness. Dependability, responsibility. God was teaching that even as an early age. I remember my coach, and I know I've told sometimes these things, but my coach, I was playing basketball, I was in the seventh grade, and my coach came up to me one day and said to me, he said, "You think we ought to have practice tonight?" And I said, "Oh, coach, whatever you think." He said, "Well, the rest of us is going to have practice. You stay home." He had seen within me that kind of lackadaisy, not care attitude. So he said, "You stay home." I had someone who cared for me. Enough to look at me and say, "You know what? He's never going to mount anything if he don't get this thing straightened out." Now the next year, he made me captain of the junior high basketball team. You know why? Because I came back and I said, "I'm going to practice. I'm going to be everything I ought to be. I wasn't a good basketball player. I could play, but I wasn't that great of a basketball player. But I said, I'm going to give it my all." I think at those times, God was teaching me dependability and responsibility. Even in those young years, God begins to mold us and to form us. And to make us into something that he can use later on down the road. He's forming us, you see. So let me say this to you. There's a lot of things that went on through my years and in school and all those things. But I want to say something to you. When I married Donna, she never once had to worry about me going to work. I do not remember how many days I missed when I was working. But let me tell you, they were very, very, very few. Just because I felt a little bad did not keep me home from work. I worked. She did not have to fret over her husband, whether he was going to try to make her a living or not and take care of his family. You know why? Because I believe God put that within me years and years ago. He established that in my life. Now, I really don't know what my daddy knew when it come to all the biblical principles. My daddy was a very, very hard worker. And I don't know all that he knew about the Bible. But I know that even though he may not have known exactly what it said, but where it says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I know one thing for sure. He practiced it. Now, I really don't know, honestly, whether he ever got that out of the Bible or not, but I'll guarantee you, when there was foolishness in his children, he drove it from us. And I can say thank you, my daddy, because he was putting things in me, this old preacher, that would never have got in there any other way. If you don't work, you don't eat. I don't know whether he ever found that in the Bible or not, but he practiced it. Listen to this verse of Scripture. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I don't know if my daddy ever read that out of the Bible and said, I'm going to start practicing that or not. But let me tell you something. He practiced it. I don't ever remember a time when we went without. Now, I'm not talking about, folks, all the gadgets. I'm talking about the basic needs of life. But you know why? Because my daddy practiced what the Bible said when it comes to providing for his own family. I don't ever remember a time going without a meal. There was times we just had a certain basic thing for a meal. Okay? It wasn't a big deal, but we always had something to eat. My daddy always, and my mama always provided things for us, because they just were that kind of people. Now, I want to tell you something. That'll put something in you. That'll establish some landmarks that I think needs to be established in people's lives, so that one of these days, as you get older, those landmarks must not be moved. They'll be the landmarks that you will use for the rest of your life, so that God can use you for His glory. In 1966, my wife and I both were saved, a little Baptist church out north of Brazil, Indiana. That literally changed our whole life. Literally changed our whole life. I mean, changed our whole family's life. We were just like anybody else. We were just walking according to the world as far as things, what we were going to do and the dreams we had and all of those things. When we got saved, it absolutely just turned our lives around and headed us in another direction. Let me say to you, landmarks began to be set in my life to prepare me and my family for the ministry. In those early years after we got saved, I learned, not only did I already have those things established as a young man, but I learned, and I didn't have any trouble learning this because it was a landmark established, that you just go to church whenever the doors are open. No, that was just established. Donna and I, even before we actually got saved, we just began to go and listen to the Word of God, and we were just there. And when we got saved, no one had to come and convince us that what you need to do is be in church every time the doors are open. No one ever had to convince me of that. No, my preacher never come and ask me why I wasn't in church. Never. Now, I'm not bragging on that. I'm saying there's things that was established years ago in my life that caused me to just simply believe, you know what, when you get saved, you're God's child. You just go to church. You just attend. Not only that, God began to establish in us faithful service for the Lord. Not only did you go to church, but you served God when you went. We was accused early in our Christian life of being very foolish because everything come up we volunteered for. Well, I'm serious. We just volunteered. Yeah, we'll do that. Pastor, we can help you on that. And we had a lady come and tell us one day, you'll learn. That's God's truth, exactly what she said. You'll learn not to volunteer for everything. I don't think I've ever learned. I don't think so. I hope not. And I know my wife hasn't. She's still volunteering, still doing, and hopefully I am too. I'm just simply saying what you do is you learn that you just faithfully serve God. It becomes a part of your life. You're God's child. You attend church, and you just faithfully serve the Lord. That becomes your life. When we was first saved, when it came to a work day at the church, and there was many work days, they was building on an addition out there at Rock Run Baptist Church. And I want to stress Rock Run Baptist Church, because it's not Rock Run Baptist Church anymore. It's Rock Run Church, and a Pentecostal group has it. But it is, let me say to you, at that time, it was Rock Run Baptist Church. And whenever the preacher needed somebody to come and help and build on or whatever it was, we were just there. We didn't question whether we should be or not. We just knew, you know what, that's what you do. So we learned that in an early age. It was the landmarks that was established in us of faithful service to God Almighty. And then, of course, I learned also as we begin to grow. Listen to me. You don't anybody ever grow overnight. From the time that my wife and I got saved, and even until now, but for years after that, let me say to you, there were so many things that God had to teach us. You look back, and sometimes you look at where you are now and think, well, why isn't everybody else there? But you remember back when you first got saved. Okay? And so we had to learn even about Christian appearance. That as a Christian, as someone who's a child of God, we are to look different than the world. And over a period of time, God taught us those things. And taught us that we must be different. Now, I'm going to use you one illustration that my pastor, Brother Evans, told me one day. He came by my house one day. He was just driving by. And next Sunday, here's what he said to me. He said, Bob, I saw you out mowing your yard the other day. And you did not have a shirt on. Now he said, now I want you to listen to me. To take it kindly, but I want you to listen to me. That's nakedness. He said, now you need to wear a shirt. You need to cover up. Now this pastor, you would say, did it make you mad? I really thought about it. And I said, you know what though? If he says so, that's right. Never again did I ever go out in public with my shirt off. I'm just telling you. Now you can say to me, Brother Ross, it don't hurt anything. Listen, as a young man, I think I spent half of my life. I was in hay fields, I was everywhere. I didn't pay no attention to that. But as the Word of God began to teach me and train me, I needed to be different now that I'm saved. And Donna began to learn and be taught that as a lady, there's different things that you don't do as a lady. You don't go out on the beach and wear bathing suits. That's for men and women. Now, if you read in the Bible, that's nakedness. Now, I'm talking about public beaches. You can do whatever you want. You can believe that. You don't have to believe it. I'm telling you, it's wrong. As a Christian, because we're different. We've got to be different. And my wife began to learn over time that there's things that she ought to wear and not to wear because of who she was. Not to become a Christian. She was already a Christian, but because of who she was. And God was preparing her to be a pastor's wife. I still remember the day our dear daughter Lori came home from school one day, and some of the kids had been putting pressure on her because she was wearing longer dresses. And the kids was putting pressure on her, and so she came home and asked if she could wear dresses that was up above her knees. She wanted to do that because that's what the kids at school were wearing at those times. And we said no, and so she continued to wear that. But God sent a wonderful Christian teacher to Lori and said to her, Lori, I just want you to know something. You always look so ladylike. And I want you to know how much I appreciate you. God sent her by to encourage Lori's heart. And she never asked us again. The only reason she asked us then is because of pressure. Peer pressure on her. But God began to teach. You understand? Even in Christian appearance, we must be different. This morning we preached concerning that those who are dead in trespasses and sin walk the course of this world. The world has a different course than the Christians do. The world can do a lot of things, but we can't. You understand what I'm saying? I believe ladies ought to look like ladies. I believe men ought to look like men. Amen? So what I'm saying is, over those years, God began to teach us these things and establish in us these principles that was going to make a difference when one day God would call me to preach. He also taught me to be a faithful witness for Christ. Soon after I was saved, began working at Anaconda Aluminum Company at that time, and God began to stir my heart of why wasn't I witnessing to people. Let me say something to you. When I was at Anaconda Aluminum Company at that time, I didn't see anybody else doing it. So I began to do that. As a result of that, I don't want to say the number, but I seen some folks saved, some men saved over there. I'd talk to them at dinner time. I've led some to the Lord during dinner hour. And God began to teach me that I needed to be a witness for Him no matter where I went. We also, He would take me out on a visitation with Him. I didn't know what visitation was. I didn't know what soul winning was. I didn't know how you did it. But He took me out and showed me. He took me to hospitals and visited in hospitals. He showed me, went door to door, and we would talk to people about Christ. I just watched Him and listened. But He showed me that was so necessary. Why was all of that being established in my life? Because one day God was going to call me to preach. Now listen to me, you don't have to be a preacher to be a soul winner, but He was establishing those things in my life. In fact, everybody ought to be a soul winner. You ought to be a soul winner. You ought to be a witness for Jesus Christ. So He taught me that though. And then also He established in me, and I'm saying this to you because it takes time. It's not something that happens overnight. But He established in me the fact that the Bible is the standard for life. If I can't find it in the Bible, it shouldn't be taught. That the Bible is God's Word, and I began to be taught that. Where I would understand, and I became assured that this was the absolute authority for life. Not part of it, but all of it. And I also was taught and believe and established that today that the King James Version is what we should use. No, I shouldn't say version. The King James Bible is what we should use. We should always use that. And I will never, ever use anything else. God taught me those things. Why? Because one day He was going to call me to preach. He was establishing some things in the leadership that I was going to need when I stepped up to be a pastor. And He was getting me ready for that. I believe also He taught me that prayer was something that absolutely was something that I had to do and depend on. The first time He ever taught me the great lesson of prayer, He's done many times since then, but was one night at Trinity Baptist Church, or one week we was going to have a meeting, a week of meetings. Sunday morning, this evangelist was coming somewhere from Tennessee or Kentucky. I can't remember which one, but he was coming up, and I didn't know when he was traveling. I didn't know anything. I knew he was coming, and I remember one night in the middle of the night, I got up and I went into the bathroom, and as I came out of the bathroom, God began to deal with me to pray. I don't understand it all, but He told me to pray. I got down somewhere, can't remember exactly where it was, and I kneeled and I prayed for the evangelist and asked God to help him. The next morning I went to a Sunday school and we was there, and the preacher, the evangelist, told about coming down the road. It was foggy because he drove through the night in the early morning hours. It was real foggy. And he said, I felt this wonderful impression from the Lord that I should slow down. I slowed down practically to a crawl, and he said, here was a bridge, one of the smaller bridges, and a car was abandoned right in the middle of his lane. And when we began to ask him when that was, the timing was just perfect when I was praying. Now, what did God do? He taught me the importance of prayer. Now, they may have been others praying. I'm not trying to say anything about it. I'm just saying He taught me the first lesson on prayer, how important prayer was. What was He doing? He was establishing some things in this preacher's life that I was going to need for a lifetime. Okay? So there's all kinds of things. I could go over and over, but one of the things that God has showed me over the years, that children are God's heritage. Now, I want to just say something to you. The first years after I was saved, I very, ever seldom heard anybody preach on family life. Never heard it. Am I blaming anybody? I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just simply saying I never heard anything about it. How to rear children. What to do. How to handle family. How to treat your wife. How to treat your husband. I never heard those things until after God called me to preach, and I began to learn some years after that from the Bible and from going to places and hearing messages about family life. I didn't know what it meant and how to raise children biblically. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, many of you have had the blessings of being taught how to raise children the biblical way. I didn't have that. I'm not making excuses. I'm just simply telling truth. But God began to teach me and show me many things about family life and children and husband and wife relationships and all those things. Why? Getting me ready. Preparing me, setting some standards, some landmarks in my life that must never be moved. And I've done my best to try to follow those. I've done my best to try to help people to know about family and husband and wife relationships. Why? Because God instilled that in me. Now, it was there, all of those things, and we could say so many things. But it was those things that God did way back in my early years, young years, and even on up through after we got saved, before we got called to preach. God was preparing this preacher to be a preacher and to establish some things that Blessed Hope Baptist Church would need, some standards it would need. You see, God uses an individual to establish things like, was there other people? Sure. But you have to have the leadership that takes the stand, that establishes the way a church is going to go and what they're going to stand for. And down through the years, I'm going to say to you, over and over and over, I've fought battles that many of you know nothing about and shouldn't know anything about, just to try to keep this place going in the right direction. And God called me to preach. After that, God sent to me even then, as He began to teach this preacher how to be a pastor. I had so much to learn. Still do. He sent books my way. Good, solid books written by men of God. F.B. Myers. Sam Jones. C.H. McIntosh was what I cut my teeth on, my spiritual teeth, on their teachings of the Word of God. And He sent them to me to build me and help me to be what He wanted me to be. He sent people my way, individuals that helped me to prepare for the ministry. That was a blessing to me. He sent other people to me to teach me what not to do. Many to teach me what to do, and many to teach me what not to do down through the years. He sent me through circumstances that I could spend a whole night, and we won't. We're not going to be belabored. We're not going to dwell on them. But circumstances that I went through as a young preacher that began to strengthen me and build me to get me ready to establish Blessed Hope Baptist Church. All kinds of circumstances. Little church just east of here. I cut my teeth out there. I went to college out there. Didn't we, Brother Charles? A liberal in their ways, and yet Baptist by name. I went through things out there. I was called everything under the sun, but which was would be considered good. No, I mean, and when you go through that day after day after day, it's not something you look back on and say, oh yeah, we went through that. No, you went through it day after day after day. The battles raged. And God was preparing a preacher for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Why? Because he wanted what is here 30 years later. He wanted some things where a church would stand upon the Bible, the Word of God, and would not falter, would not fail, would not go backwards, but would go forward. And for 30 years, let me say to you, this church has been here for 30 years, and let me say to you, it's a church I believe is different than a lot of churches. We're not saying it's the greatest church in the world. We're just simply saying, if you want to look around today, you see a run-of-the-mill church all over this area. We are going to be different. Not to be smart, but we believe it's right for us to be different biblically. Now, how did all of this happen? Well, God used certainly a people whom he had prepared to be at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Prepared a people. He prepared a pastor to stand upon the Bible, the Word of God, and not turn back. So when I'm not saying you would, but if you are one of those people who would like to see some things changed around here, you better get in your history book of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If you'd like everything to be liberal and just let up on things, you better get in your history book. Been fighting those battles for a lot of years. And I don't have any intentions of backing off now. I want to die swinging. Amen. And I'm going to continue to swing. I don't believe, and I'm going to say this in a kind way, but it's one of the great dangers in church, in Baptist churches today. You stay away from that Pentecostal stuff. I mean, stay away from it. It's causing all kinds of troubles. Stay away from it. Hear what this preacher's talking about? You stay independent, fundamental Baptist. You walk right down the line. Amen. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stick there. I'm just saying to you folks, and there's another message about Blessed Hope Baptist Church and its ancient landmarks that we need to preach. But I promise you, I don't even preach one tonight. And that's all we're going to preach. But there's another message. I'm just simply saying to you, you need to understand something. There's been some landmarks set. Now, you say, Brother Ross, you think this church is just perfect? It's a long way from being perfect. I don't know of a perfect church on the face of this earth. I don't know of a perfect pastor, and I don't know of a perfect people. But we got to keep the old line going right straight down the line. We can't back off. We can't let up. In all areas, and we'll talk about those the next time we preach. But I just want to give you a little history lesson of where we're at and why we're there. And I want to say something. You're going to have to kill me to change me. I mean it. Either God will kill me, take me out of here, and that'll be all right. I'd love to go home tonight. You know why? I get tired battling. No, I really do. But I'm not going to get so tired battling that I'm going to quit. If God cuts me off, amen. Don't you fret about that. Say amen. He's where he wants to be. I'm serious about that. I look forward to heaven. I mean that with all my heart. But until he takes me, we're just going to keep on going right down the line. And nobody is going to get us off on the wrong track. Nobody. Too much battle, too much battling, too much fighting all these years. No, no, no. We're not going to allow that, period. Amen. We're just going to keep on going. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you today
for your goodness and kindness and grace. Help us, oh God, just to trust you, believe in you, just know that you're the great, the true, the wonderful God, and that you love us and will meet the need of our lives. And we just thank you tonight, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for our people here. God, use us to just be that old-fashioned church that just preaches the Bible and walks according to your word. And Lord, understanding how frail we are. Lord, we're not everything we ought to be. Oh, God, help us. But help us to keep going right down the right line. Amen, Lord, help us. And so we ask you for it. Now, Father, we just ask you tonight, if there's a need for folk tonight to come, just simply want to say, you know what, that's where I'm going to stand. I'm just going to stand right there. We're just going to be right together. And we're just going to stand. We're just going to do what's right. And even though we're not everything we ought to be, we're just going to pick it up, just do what's right, and just go right on down the line. Maybe that folk here tonight may need to come to the altar and just simply just say, that's what I want to do, God. I don't know what's in the hearts. I don't know what you have planned for tonight. But I'll let you take care of it. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.